This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
McIlroy steps in. Can he do it? Rory looks at the hole, putter back, and through. And he missed on the left. It's only a foot away. It should be no problem, but he's got to keep his focus as we look to a playoff here in the 89th Masters.
Our boy, the great Mike Tirico, with the call on Masters Radio. It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby back together again here on DFW Sports Station. Good morning, Metroplex. We got a Renegades ticket giveaway coming up in 20 minutes during the commercial-free expressway. Rory McIlroy recovers multiple times, psychologically, physically, emotionally, in order to complete his career grand slam over Justin Rose in the playoff. Rose hits his nice shot. And then I was trying to think of a different way to say this because of you children, but Roy gets inside Justin with that shot.
Yes, he did.
Able to go ahead and hit that putt and take home. Pepe, guess. Guess the Masters winnings for who walks away with the green jacket.
Oh, the winnings. I'm going to go 22 and a half.
No, about one fifth of that.
22 and a half million?
No, way off. I had no idea.
That's the total of the whole tournament.
I think he just decided more Peyton that Atolo's voted for. It's going to be another lifestyle.
It's going to be another lifestyle.
$20 million for winning the Masters. What do you think it is, Bobby?
Four point two
for Rory. Rose, Pepe would say maybe 18.
He gets about 2.5.
2.2. Patrick Reed. 1.4. He had the hole-in-one to jump him up that leaderboard. Scottie Scheffler with a cool mil, and then DeChambeau with 800,000. But RJ Choppy with the bold statement. First off, talk about the leaderboard, but the real bold statement, if Rory hangs on to win, he becomes the best player of this generation. He becomes the face of the post-Tiger generation of golfers. And you had brought up the point and problem that you had with him being labeled as a choker before this.
Yeah, my whole thing is, like, you know, he had already won four majors, and he had been so close so many of the times. Like, I just, when you win,
yeah, it doesn't sound right.
Right. Like, I think of a guy, you know, Phil
never gets one.
It took Phil like 15 years to win a major. Like, you could have had that label on him, rightfully so, at that moment. But, you know, when you've gotten to five now, five, that's a lot. That's a lot of championships. That'd be like saying that David Ortiz is a choker because, you know, or whatever, you know, Jeter was a choker, you know, something like that, right? That some of these guys that have three, four rings are chokers because they failed in certain spots at the, you know, at some point in their career.
Yeah.
But Rory's always been a really, really solid player. Like, a great player. He's an all-time great. He's immortal now. He's one of six guys that have a career Grand Slam. Phil doesn't do that. Phil doesn't have a U.S. Open. Arnold Palmer doesn't have a career Grand Slam. Tom Watson doesn't have the career Grand Slam. Like, it's impossible to do, dang near. There's only really four guys in the modern era. You know, you've got Tiger, you've got
Jack. Do you put him over Phil all-time?
No, not yet. I'm trying to think. Like, Rory's got 30 wins and now five majors. Phil has six majors. Six is really the number you want to get to. But he's got the career Grand Slam, and Phil doesn't. Probably Phil's got 45 wins on the tour. Rory's got 29.
So I'm just going to give you from a perception standpoint. I'm not going to argue with you a lot here because you're a golf guy. Just from an outside casual observer opinion, I'm still thinking about Scottie Scheffler.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, Rory's got the paperwork here. He's the sixth golfer ever to have the career slam. That's hard. There's just something like mentally in my mind, like if you were to tell me who's going to win the most over the next 2-3 years, you do have to take into account what Rory has done. I'm still thinking like Scottie Scheffler feels like the favorite in all these things.
Oh, I think he is. I think he is the favorite. I just think like over the course of the post Tiger was 2009, right? That's when the whole situation with Elon happened and he basically stopped playing. You know, it's been Rory's tour.
Yeah.
And
felt like it was going to be Spieth.
Felt like it was going to be Spieth for a little bit. It is his tour from a I'm a complainer standpoint.
Oh!
And that's all I do is complain and bitch and moan. Oh. That's what he does. But, you know, Scheffler, here's the thing with Scotty. Scotty had a baby in May. I have not seen Scotty win. He's won like 2 or 3 tour events, but he hasn't won this year.
He's like me, rarely shows up now.
He hasn't won anything this year. I wonder, you know, you have kids, I mean, things change, I mean, everything changes, you know. The other thing with Scotty is Scotty has only won a major at the Masters. He's never won an Open. He's never won a PGA. He's never won a British Open. Now, he's been in the top 10 several times.
You said he's only won his only major is the Masters?
That's it. Yeah, he's only won the Masters.
Oh.
I
don't know. There's this perception thing that doesn't make me like
he's the best player tour.
Rory right up there, even though all the numbers and all the success say it. What do you think that is?
I mean, I think that it's been long. He's been around for a long time. Spieth had a really good pop in 2016. And then it's been Scheffler. I mean, Scheffler's completely dominated. What we saw from Scheffler at the start of last year was we've hardly ever seen this.
But not other major championships at other places.
Right, but not other majors
and
at
Brooks
other places.
And Brooks is thought of as a little one-trick pony, too. He only gears up for the important ones.
He only gears up for the important ones. He's not on the tour anymore, right? He's on LIV. And he's never won the Masters, and he's never won the British Open. He's only won the PGA and the U.S. Open. So, you know, Brooks is not going to have the resume. Even though Brooks and Rory have the most majors, you know, of the other guys on tour, other than Phil, Brooks is not going to have the resume Rory has because Brooks doesn't care about the Waste Management Open.
Look, Chop, it's not just that Scotty plays well. It's that he plays well every week. I mean, heading into Augusta this week, it was like out of the last 25 starts he had, he only finished outside the top 10 twice. Oh, and I mean, that's he's turned consistency into a weapon, at least according to Google. That's what they say whenever I ask them, what's the argument for Scheffler over Rory? I was trying to back you up, Sean.
Yeah, so Rory, I mean, Scheffler's got he finished second in the PGA 2 years ago, second in the U.S. Open 3 years ago, and then seventh in the Open Championship last year. Those are his best finishes. No, look, those are great finishes. And he's already got half the amount of PGA Tour, more than half, that Rory has in a quarter of the time. So he's going to blow past Rory in PGA Tour wins. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's just, does he get to five?
You mentioned Jordan Spieth complaining. Mudballs. Mudballs being talked about. Jordan, what were some of your issues in Augusta?
Be brutally honest with you, it was primarily mudballs. And it's just so frustrating because you can't talk about them here. You're not supposed to talk about them. I mean, mudballs can affect this tournament significantly. And, you know, they've done a better job. There's like less than normal. But, you know, I mean, I still had them today on those holes too. I had them yesterday on those holes. And, yeah, I was actually really surprised like on Tuesday how, you know, I mean, but I'm expecting it a lot out here. Look, it's mowed into the grain. The ball's digging in on every shot. Every person's having to deal with it, but the fact that you're not supposed to talk about it is a bit frustrating because it is a difference maker. It can be a difference maker in scores on some holes.
He called him out.
Is he talking about?
So, you know, when you come to your ball in the fairway, the Masters is soaking wet. It's always wet. It rains a lot. They've got this sub-air system underneath that sucks the water out and dumps it into the rough. And you're walking around in a mud pile. Do not wear white shoes if you go to Augusta, ever.
So at other courses, if you have a muddy ball, are you allowed to wipe it
off? No, you're not. They just don't have muddy balls the way you have here. You'll get muddy balls everywhere, but like this course is specifically, the way it is, how soft it is, you get a lot of mud on the golf ball. You can't clean it unless they allow you to lift clean in place. So they don't. And that affects the ball flight. But everybody has it.
Everyone has it.
The whole tournament is going to deal with this. And, you know, Jordan just called out that the Masters was like, hey, We don't talk about that.
Yeah, Bobby, I'm stunned Augusta wouldn't want everything as white as possible, to be honest.
Yeah, this, Bobby, I was trying to count in the crowd yesterday. I was having a hard time. I was trying to look. But, Bobby, this is going to make you love Augusta even more. Yeah. Bro Bible came out with the 9 words and phrases you're not allowed to say.
Yep.
Get ready, Bob. Fans.
Fans, patrons.
Civil rights. Can't say that either, can you? What other words are we not allowed to say?
Sounds about white.
Lincoln. You're not allowed to reference Lincoln. You're not allowed to reference the North.
Can't say Lincoln.
Oh, my God.
You could probably say Andrew Jackson, but so you can't say Lincoln.
You have to say patrons.
Yep.
Okay, you can't say rough.
No, it's the first cut and the second cut.
Why?
Well, rough is rough. Rough is a rough word.
Sand trap.
Nope, it's bunker.
Bunker. Oh, uh-huh. You can't say back nine?
No, it's the second nine. Back nine is less. They don't want the back nine to be less than the front.
Sand also reminds them of the Middle East, and they're like, no, can't have that.
Yeah.
Driving range.
Oh, no, it's a term of practice area.
You just know all these already?
Yeah.
Used to be driving range before they let women drive, and then Augusta's like, no, can't use that term anymore.
Country club or golf. I love the Bobby justifications. Country club or golf course you're not allowed to say as a broadcaster. It's to be known as the Augusta National Golf Club.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes,
okay.
Augusta National.
Not country club. You can call it the Dixie Club.
That's right.
Twosome.
That's a pairing.
It's right? A pairing.
Yeah, it's a pairing.
Yeah, yeah. I can't say it's twosome.
It's a pairing.
It's a pairing. Fourth round.
Final round.
Final round. Yep.
There we go.
It's not the fourth round. It's the final round. So does Jim Nantz have a list and a sheet reminding? I mean, he knows them by now. Sponsors who back PGA Tour events. These are the rules that you shall not break while talking about it on air.
Yeah. Gary,
so what will they do to Jordan over this since he talked about the mud balls?
Look, he's a former champ. He's a former champ. He's an honorary member.
It'd be hilarious if they took away his honorary membership for like breaking the code.
It's
not over like going to prison for spousal abuse like the other guy, but they'll send you to they'll take you away for this.
I mean, they banned Gary McCord. He's the guy with like the Raleigh fingers. He got banned as the announcer from Augusta.
What?
Yeah, they banned him years ago.
Why?
I can't remember what he said. He said something about he made comments about Jose Maria Olazabal, and the greens. Something about Spanish. He made some weird, very strange comment. I don't remember what it was, but.
But Fuzzy's cool.
Fuzzy's all right.
Fuzzy's down.
He's a champ. He's a former champ. So right. He's all right.
So Spieth, he has that reputation as a whiner?
He does. He has a little reputation as a complainer. But, you know, like, I also look at it from the other side. It's like, he's just calling it out. Like, is this complaining or is it just mentioning something that like has been like this dirty little secret inside Augusta?
I always love when these guys win to see who comes out to greet them and who like supports Jordan after he says something like this. Like you see kind of who Rory's buddies are when someone wins, who comes up and hugs, who's not there. And I wanted to see if anyone would back Spieth. I haven't seen any echoing. I haven't looked right. That hard, but that lets me know like what do people think of you on tour? You know, you usually have that grimy gossip behind the scenes.
He has his friends. Like he's got his clique. His clique is you know, Justin Thomas and you know Ricky. They've all been friends forever. So he's got his little bro club.
And
right?
Jason Day got told to tone down the outfits.
He did. He got told to tone. He had these.
It's like neon. It was like highlighters.
There's this company that he reps. Like they make these crazy outfits for him. And they were like, "Yeah, man, you can't be out here looking like he looks like a teenager. Looks like a teenager with these overly baggy clothes." They didn't want that. You know, there's certain things they don't want you doing, and you either follow it or you don't get invited.
And that's why John Daly is posted up at the Hooters.
At the Hooters.
The street.
They probably wouldn't let him smoke on the course. They probably wouldn't let him.
Oh, no. Can't have the cell phones. No. Pittman was there. So it's a Meet Church Wednesday in a couple days. Pittman was out there.
Yeah, and you know, you got to bring your 9mm Fujifilm disposable camera.
It's just it's the most self-important, eye-roll-inducing thing in all of professional sports.
Did Dak Prescott get caught fibbing? And does Dak need to shut down the mobility? He answered a lot of Cowboy questions. We have it on the Home of the Cowboys during the commercial-free Expressway with an Arlington Renegade ticket giveaway for you turning it on, leaving it on, and we'll celebrate a wedding weekend on the morning show after this. We got an Arlington Renegades ticket giveaway to hook you up with. We are commercial free here on DFW Sports Station. And this HOV portion of the Expressway driven by Mercedes-Benz of Plano. Entire morning crew back together again. Thank you for starting off your week with us. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. Dak Prescott speaking at an awards event and creating some Cowboy headlines that both of you called out yesterday, in Dak saying, yes, if I had to play a game today, I definitely could, Dr. Choppy.
I mean, how does that make you feel? Like, let's be fair. Like, you know, like if he said he had to play today, he could, which, does any of us believe that if he had to play today, he could?
No.
I don't believe that either. Like, they have to know where he is on the injury front, do they not, at this point?
Yeah, they have their medical team working with him.
Yeah, like, they would have to know. So they know whether he's telling the truth here or if he's behind or not. And, I mean, I think Atlanta saw the same thing last year with Kirk Cousins lead up to the draft, that Kirk was behind.
Oh, he's going to be ready for the season.
He'll be ready for training camp.
He'll be ready for training camp. He'll play day one at training camp. Yeah, he'll be fine.
Okay.
But it's...
He said he's going to try to participate in most, if not all, of these first Schottenheimer workouts.
He'll be medically cleared. Like, but the idea of, like, could you play today? No, you couldn't. Like, I mean, it's because even when he addressed it, he had talked about, like, I could play today if I had to. Like, 17 games, though, is what really Yeah, because what you're saying is if you could play one game and probably leave it hurt because you're not ready to play. It's just a silly fib. It's like when Aaron Rodgers does his, I'll be playing by the end of December, even though I tore my Achilles 2 weeks ago. Yeah. It's like, no, you. Why even make that up? Why even go with that? I guess it's because nobody can actually show it, and you don't want to concern anybody by saying, well, I couldn't play today, so you're just trying to soften it. But no, he couldn't play today.
Are you factoring any of this into your draft plan?
Look, I mean, again, like they would know the exact where he is. Like, it's clear. I think it's clear Atlanta knew that Kirk wasn't going to be good to go.
Probably
drafted Penix.
Yeah, because they there was zero chance Penix wasn't going to be there by the time they picked. They knew all along Penix would be there. It wasn't like we had no idea he was going to drop to us. So it was clearly an indictment of what they saw from Kirk.
So I don't know that, like, I don't think Shador is going to get to 12. I think New Orleans, obviously, with Carr's shoulder injury status, that's probably his floor. I don't even think he gets there. I think the Jets would take him at 7.
I mean, Dart might be picked ahead of Shador, though, depending on the team. And so, I mean, see, New Orleans could look at it and go, we'll take Jackson Dart, and then Shador's floor becomes maybe Aaron Rodgers-like of just slipping to the 20s.
So if he's here at 12, I do think you have a decision to make based on your intel of Dax Hammy. If, like, you know, and it's also like this guy's gotten injured every year for the last couple of years now. Do you have to plan? Short of that.
They give it Joe Milton.
You give it go with Joe Milton, or do you... In the second round, when that rolls around, if Jackson Dart is there in the second, which I don't think he will be, but if he is, do you take a flyer there or on Milrow or whoever?
No, I mean, I think their flyer was Milton. That's their flyer. That's the guy that they like all of his tools and they like what he could potentially do. I think they also know he's behind in certain areas, whether it be with the processing or other things like that. So that's they'll invest in him, see if they can put him together. I don't think there's a shot they would take Shador if he fell to 12.
Do you see the same issues that you were talking about with him and the Heupel offense, or because he was at Michigan, it doesn't matter?
No, I think in general, there have been questions about during the pre-draft process, things you saw at Michigan, other things about his ability to process. And so that's something that can come along. The more that you throw at them, the more that they're able to learn. But there are just genuine questions, I think, about what's his mental processing like, and specifically, how is he able to put those tools together into being a complete quarterback who can actually throw the ball accurately, consistently?
The rumors of 50-pound weight loss for the Slim Reaper. Or Dak, what are the other nicknames that they're calling you?
Slim Reaper, whatever you want to call me, but real Slim. No, I'm just kidding. I actually haven't really lost any weight. I'm about the same. Weights just move, building my legs back up, obviously, from the hamstring. Might be leaner up top, but weight's the same.
So he said the weight's the same.
All right. Well, I already knew that thanks to an article I read last at the end of last week that said the 50-pound weight loss wasn't true. So I already knew that. But
50 pounds.
Yeah. That was clearly.
Yeah, move on.
That's clearly just Jake Ferguson joking around like, oh, Dak down 50 pounds. I don't know
people
how.
People over the weekend asked me, so did he really lose? I said, do you know how much 50 pounds is?
50 pounds.
Have you ever seen someone who's lost? It's not a. That's not a normal weight transition.
It's a fifth grader.
What are you talking about?
Maybe he's lost a lot of weight off his shoulders now, knowing he doesn't have to carry everything with McCarthy gone. Maybe that's what he meant. Like he's looking 50 pounds lighter in that sense. He's got a coach that's in lockstep with him.
All right, the thing I was most interested in, you know, playing today, whatever, I don't care. He's going to be fine. I trust that he's going to be fine to start off when he needs to start off. The thing that I was most interested in is him talking about his mobility. And he was asked, like, do you have to stop running so much? And he said, me playing my best, I'm mobile. Whether it's actually running past the line of scrimmage or scrambling, making plays happen with my arm. So that's vital for me. That is a big part of this. So Dak is telling us, no, I'm not running less. It's a part of my game, and it needs to stay a part of my game.
Well, I mean, I don't know how much less he can run than what he has. I mean, that's you're basically Tom Brady back there if you're not going to run anymore.
But
he needs to run. Like, that's the thing. It is part of his game.
He needs to run to throw. I would like to get some numbers on this. Like,
rolling out?
Feels like when he rolls out and cuts it loose, I'm betting on a big play to happen more often than not.
That's when he's at his best.
Watching him scram. I mean, and he needs, look, I have no problem with what he said. There was a time a couple years ago, I agreed with Jerry, like, cut down on the design runs. It is what it is. It's part of his game. You need your little fake red zone read options for him to use his legs. It's just painful to watch him run.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, to me, it's he doesn't need to run. He needs to be mobile, though.
Yes.
Like, to me, whenever anybody's like, oh, he needs to run, like, he needs to do RPOs or he needs to have the option in there to be able to run and take it if, it, you know, basically they let the edge go. But to me, I think it's more just about being able to be mobile enough to deliver a pass or extend a play or shift. As long as he's mobile enough just to do that, they're fine. I do think that when he says, yeah, I'm not taking running out of my game, that's part of my game. That's also partly rhetoric of like, you're not going to tell teams, telegraph that I'm not running the ball anymore. But I think the reality is you can look at his numbers. He does not run the ball nearly as frequently. He doesn't move as much. He's going to be 32. Coming up here in July. And so he's an older player who started breaking down, and you've got to limit those hits.
Jordan Lewis, Tank Lawrence gone. Dak on a possible leadership void in the locker room.
It's a great opportunity for guys. I almost don't want to say one because I want to challenge him. I mean, there's a lot of slates and a lot of positions. Obviously, Michael Parson, you know what I mean? You got CeeDee Lamb. You got guys that you can name, but there's a lot of the guys that have an opportunity to step up. But super, super excited about what we have, the veterans that we have. I mean, honestly, the one that jumped off when you ask it is Osa, right? Like, guys follow him. He does things the right way, but it's about creating more that you just can't deny their leadership and you can't deny their will to win.
Didn't want to name a lot of names, but Osa jumped to mind. Friend of the show, Bobby Bell.
I think Osa is naturally somebody who's going to step up, is going to be a bigger part of this, and is going to be somebody who they lean on more. Osa's considered, like, that's the success story that you look for in terms of the guy who works really hard and reaches every bit of his potential. I think Deron Bland, hopefully, could be part of that, be part of stepping up. You would think, as long as he's healthy, DeMarvian Overshown is kind of a big part of the leadership on that side of the ball as well. But, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a void here. And then more than DeMarcus Lawrence, it's Jordan Lewis. Jordan Lewis leaving here left a big hole for them in terms of somebody who holds everybody accountable and says, like, hey, this is our standard and everybody needs to be hitting it.
Chop mentioned it. The Saints, I'm leaving Dak with that. Anything else?
No.
You want to add?
Good.
Choppy mentioned it. Derek Carr is now apparently dealing with a shoulder injury that threatens his availability for the season. So yeah. Kellen Moore with bad quarterback news to start off, unless it's really a blessing and it's forcing you to rip off the Derek Carr Band-Aid, money and all.
Money and all. You know, Carr's got his floor's too high to help you get the number one pick. But he's not good enough to get you to the Super Bowl or the playoffs. I mean, maybe the playoffs.
Maybe.
With, you know, he's been there a couple times, but certainly not good enough to get you to the Super Bowl. And that's the worst spot to be in. You cannot have a quarterback that is just a little bit too good to not be bad enough. The Saints need a reset. And maybe they're lucky enough and somebody drops to them, or they take Dart, like you said, Bobby, or Shador, or whatever, or you trade up. Or you go with the Spencer Rattler route.
Oh.
You know, you could do that if you wanted to. Maybe Kellen Moore likes him, right? Maybe he can figure something out. But they're in a tough spot. But this may be a blessing. This may be a blessing in disguise that you lose Derek Carr potentially for the year.
Yep.
And this allows you to
go get the number one or two pick.
Yep.
I remember thinking how bad they were after they beat Dallas and just being like, that New Orleans team was really rough after the Dallas game. And so I was curious.
Dude, remember what they did to us?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was awful. It was, and they
Clint
were,
Kubiak, I thought, was going to be a head coach based off that game.
Based off that one game.
Yeah, it was the first 2 weeks they had put up like 50 points in both games, one against the Panthers and then against Dallas, and then they fell off after that. But it made me think, I was like, okay, what was Derek Carr's record last year? He had to be below 500. He was 5-5 when he started last year for New Orleans. Even as bad as everything went after that, they finished 500 with him. His QBR was the second highest of his career. He was 63-4.
Yeah, and that's the problem with Derek Carr. Like, he'll win you some games, and then he'll lose games that he shouldn't lose. And you look up at the schedule.
You're 7-9 win team.
And you're 7-9, you're 8-9, you're 9-8, you're whatever. And you're right back where you started with the 10th pick.
One more Cowboy note. I've had this bad Eberflus taste in my mouth.
It's his hair gel.
I don't know if it's his hair gel. It could be his hair gel. He looks grumpy. I don't know. Yeah. But really what it's about is the way he conducted himself as Bears head coach. And Caleb Williams kind of verified that. He did this interview with Esquire, and he said the way Eberflus, I totally forgot the way the Bears started the season. Do you know what their record was?
They were a winning team through the first like 5-6 weeks of the season, weren't they?
They were 4-2, and the Commanders' Hail Mary would have made them 5-2. I was shocked.
Yeah.
That I was like, what? The Bears should have been 5-2? Well, the Hail Mary loss, the way Eberflus handled that, according to Caleb Williams, annoyed the Bears' locker room. Not only the strategic gaffe, but also a lack of discipline. And that's not even to talk about the way he stood up and was like, I don't regret anything. What are you talking about? I didn't do anything bad. So Caleb Williams talked about some of the annoyance inside that locker room on Eberflus.
Yeah, I guess it would concern me if I was hiring him again to be a head coach. I always love these kind of hires that they made with the defensive coordinator. Because to me, when you're saying we're going to be a rehab program for what you screwed up at your last stop, on your track to getting straight again, like they did with Zimmer or like they did with Dan Quinn, or I mean, they've honestly done it with a number of different coaches, Marinelli, Richard, across the board. They go, all right, here's your rehab opportunity.
But Bob, I worry about his overall judgment. Like the Hail Mary thing, and again, these are just two instances and it could be an unfair microcosm, but the Lions game with that clock management stuff makes me worry about, now he's not going to be handling the clock as a defensive guy, but it just makes me wonder, like, okay, if you were that far off with a judgment decision over that important of a moment, what else are you off on? Although his judgment was good enough to have them, should have been 5-2 to start off.
Yeah. And I mean, Quinn had a ton of judgment questions leaving Atlanta. Like when he got hired here, the questions were just, I mean, the game here in Dallas, a lot of people thought ultimately is what was the first domino that said you're getting fired, where they were up 20 in the second half and they blew that lead. And then the watermelon kick happens. And he got asked a question post game of like, I don't remember the specific issues, but he was asked something over a Zoom because it was 2020. It was COVID year. And he paused and he just couldn't answer for 10 seconds. He goes, I don't know. And a lot of people were like, he's done. He can't even answer questions anymore. I mean, Dan Quinn was considered a toxic candidate when he got hired here, and it ended up working out. So I think similarly, Eberflus is going to look back, and there's an image that he knows he has to repair, and so I think this is an easy spot to be able to do it.
Inside the Star on your official home of the Dallas Cowboys and the draft coverage. I'll be a Mesquite. So if you're a Mesquite, Tolo, come out and join me. Where are you guys going to be?
I'll be at the Pluckers in the Roman Coliseum.
Oh, that's right.
I'll be inside that one.
Yes.
Yes.
Bob, you'll be working coverage?
I'll be in the basement of the Star. We'll be doing coverage there. And then coming up this Thursday, We have Draft 101. So it's our staple draft event with you, the Tolo. Draft 101 in the fan showroom, 4131 North Central Expressway in Dallas. Brian Broaddus, Zach Wolchuk, myself. We'll have Whataburger, a night of debate, questions, everything else that you're going to do. That is this Thursday night for Draft 101 on your home of the Cowboys, 105 through the fan. No sign up required.
No sign up required.
Just show up.
You producing?
Yes, I will be here Thursday and Saturday. So I'll
so
be
he'll
the
be
station.
Off Monday then.
Yeah, that's right.
Just worn down.
Let's hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on every day this week, starting right now.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Call at number 10 right now at 877-881-1053. Wins a four-pack of tickets to see the Arlington Renegades take on the D.C. Defenders on Sunday, April 27th at Choctaw Stadium in Arlington. That's call at number 10 at 877-881-1053.
This HOV portion of the Expressway is driven by Mercedes-Benz of Plano, and we got a lot of wedding bells ringing.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm having a bad f***ing weekend.
RJ Choppy, congratulations.
Thank you.
The marriage is official.
It is official. We're in the ring.
I've been staring at that ring. Let me see that ring. You went with the black one?
I went with, I got two. It was a buy one, get one. She got it online. She got it online. Super cheap.
Got to. You go in these stores, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I wore the ring, too.
Diamonds Direct.
You got the rubber one here for when I go to the, you know, when I...
For the honeymoon.
Go to the gym or golf. The honeymoon. Yep, absolutely. I'm very thin, but...
seeing how many fingers I can get this on for my hand.
Are you...
Yeah, you know.
I can only get it on my pinky. But I did wear it on my pinky.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Look, it fits. Perfect.
I can go middle finger. It's a little struggle. Pretty easy with the index. And then thumb, that would be really embarrassing.
I'm interested to see because it's wood on the inside.
Yeah.
And I is that going to wear down as I keep, you know.
What about in water in the pool?
I haven't worn it yet in the pool.
Yeah.
I don't know.
These were buy one, get one.
Never buy one, get one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Take us through it.
Thank you. All right. So... We're not going to do anything big. We wanted to do it at the courthouse initially, but stupid us. The courthouse isn't open on Saturdays.
Oh.
So I was like, what the hell? I thought the courthouse would have been open for weddings on Saturdays, but I guess not. And we didn't want to take the kids out of school. We wanted a couple of her friends and family to be able to be there. So we went to, I said we were going to go to a park at Fort Worth. And we were walking. We were trying to figure out this park. And we went to Trinity Park. They have a duck pond. There's a little patio. Not a patio, but like a deck. And, you know, we just did it there. There's water behind it, trees in the background, kind of cool.
So what time was this and who was invited to the ceremony part?
This was at 2:30 on Saturday. I mean, anybody could have gone.
Okay.
But it was...
So Bobby and Peyton knew it was at 2:30.
No, and I didn't know where it was either. So
well,
no.
I didn't tell you because you would have told on the radio.
I would not.
It's a group chat.
He really thought I was because he wouldn't. In fact, I was like, you're getting married in Rivershawn Park, right?
That's right.
I just threw out a random park.
So let's see. My mom and my aunt's direction were there. So it was like, there was like a January 6th parade. And then her parents were there and her brother and his fiance were there. And then my kids and then a couple friends. My sister, her husband, and their two kids. And then just like three or four of her friends that were there. And then the guy who married us, we knew him.
Did he get like online certified?
He did.
Is there any, what is the percentage?
He can marry and bury.
What is the percentage of the online certifications? I feel like anyone that I know does not have the traditional standard method. I didn't. It was online certified.
Yeah.
For our guy. But I feel like that's all everyone does.
That's all you do.
Who started that? I mean, really disrespectful to
the clergy. Yeah.
To the clergy.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, oh, we can do your job. We just have to fill out five pop quiz questions.
But we're sitting there, and you know we're at the we're getting ready to do this whole thing, and I hear Tolo yelling from the park. So even in the park, people were. You know, just walking their kids or their dog, and my mom, I did the hustle on this woman.
What?
To have no idea what I do for a living. We go, after we got done with the ceremony, it was very quick. It was like 10 minutes. We go.
What'd you wear?
So I had on, she dressed me, jeans. I had a white dress shirt on, a dark blue tie, kind of a baby blue sport jacket, boots and a hat. And then she had
a cowboy hat.
She had a typical wedding dress. She forgot the bouquet at home. She forgot her bouquet.
Okay.
So I had a boutonniere She had no flowers.
And she threw the little boutonniere backwards?
She did. That's right. She did not throw the little. But she forgot that. But yeah, so we do the ceremony. And then we drive across the street to the Botanical Gardens to take pictures. Now, our photographer, my mom found, Tolo.
Oh.
Garrett Jackson.
Shop Tolo.
Good listener. He was like, oh, my God.
So I thought you said your mom didn't know what you did.
She has no idea. She's like, well, how does he know who you are?
Oh, she didn't know that.
She didn't know.
He was a listener.
She didn't know he was a listener just by happenstance. She found him. He's a huge Tolo. He works for like McKinney ISD. He's a teacher, but he does this as a side hustle. And
would you put your mom in charge of finding the photographer?
She said, I'll pay for the photographer. I'll take care of this. Said, okay.
Very nice.
You say free. I say that's for me.
Say me.
I say me. So we go to the Botanical Gardens. You know, you pay to get in, whatever the cost was. It was like $150 for all of us to get in. Like my mom, my aunt, my kids, me, Sarah, the photographers. Okay. So it was like $130, $150.
It's like the Arboretum?
Yeah, it's basically the Arboretum.
Okay.
And we're walking around and I had to tell my aunt, hey, you can't pick the flowers in here.
It's like the Blue Bonnet laws.
She's picking flowers left. I said, put those away. No. You can't pick the flowers in here.
She's like, I'll just get pardoned. What do you mean?
She doesn't understand. She goes, I don't understand why they're flowers. I go, yeah, you can't pick the flowers
in
here. Wow. I was just shoving them in your purse.
She goes to like SeaWorld, like puts the otters in her purse. Yeah. She just thinks it's all for her taking.
She goes, I said, put them in your purse. And she goes, no. And she sticks them in her watch and her bracelet. I was like, oh, that's incognito.
What?
Like, no one will figure that one out.
Wow.
Man.
What an amazing woman this sounds like.
We got to interview her sometime.
Yeah.
More Tolos come around. My mom is like, how do they know who you are?
If you build it, they will come. Yeah, they just had a sense.
I'm like, I don't know. Because I said on the radio that I'm going to be doing the photos of the Botanical Gardens, you know, on Saturday. And they just figured
out. And everyone looks at the person in the wedding dress.
Yes. And everyone looks at the person. Now, my kids were nightmares. They were like, I don't want to walk in a suit. It's embarrassing. Thankfully, at the Botanical Gardens, it was prom night.
Oh.
So everyone was dressed up for these pictures. This is the pictures now, we're talking about like 3:15 to 4:15. We were there. And that's primetime photo. That's the golden hour.
Yeah.
Right? It's the golden hour, Peyton. And that's where all the prom photos are being taken. So they were kids, thankfully. We're a little bit happy. Julian got lost. He tried to steal stuff out of the gift shop. Doritos. We caught him on that one.
Are you for real?
Well, he fakes like he's going to steal things. We talked about this last week. He always tries to get captured by the eye in the sky, like on purpose. Like he was trying to. We were shopping for their outfits. He was taking ties off the thing and stuffing them in my pockets, and then waving at the camera and going like this, pointing down to me.
And what's the purpose?
Just to mess with me.
Just a prank, Dad. Just a prank.
I like it.
I think it's funny. I think it's funny. But, you know, at some point, it's like, all right, bud, come on.
Yeah.
We got to stop this. Once is fine. A couple times, we don't need to do that. But it was great. And then, you know, at night, we came back to the house, changed. And then we went to Marty B's in Bartonville. And that's where we had, like, the after party. And Bobby and Peyton were there. And Mackenzie and Kristen. And then we had about, I would say we had like 35 people.
Nice.
That wound up showing up to that. It was come and go. Come and go as you please. We hit just at. I said, look, I gave him a limit on the alcohol. I said, come talk to me when it's over. And then I'll be like, then I'll say, all right, you can go ahead of that or go over that.
Yeah.
And we got just under it.
For
the end of the night.
Wow.
Yeah. So paid up. Everything was settled.
Okay.
And, you know, we walked away around 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Bob, paint the scene from your perspective of RJ Choppy's wedding night.
The scene was clearer earlier in the night. It became increasingly blurry for both me and Peyton, I think. No, but it was nice. So we got there. And
I saw you wore a collared shirt.
I did.
Yeah. Very nice.
I was talking before we left. I was like, I don't know what this scene is supposed to look like. I don't know if I'm supposed to be in there, like, dressed up like I would at a wedding reception or whatever. And she's like, you need to at least wear jeans and a collared shirt. And I said, okay, fine. So I did that. But it was nice. I think that actually fit. It seemed like jeans and a collared shirt seemed like it generally fit with the group. But yeah, we went in there. It was a good food spread. Love that. They had like queso and guac, and then they had wings and these like bacon wrap skewers and stuff.
Poppers.
It was fantastic.
Brisket meatballs. They had like brisket meatballs. Oh, they were so good.
It was all fantastic. All really good. I got there and relatively early in the night, I noticed Chop had some red eyes. And so I noticed, all right, he's already probably started with the drinking, so we should join in.
Yeah.
And so we joined in, and we got a little bit of a lecture from the ladies, both Peyton and I, because I guess they didn't want us drinking as much as we were.
What were the rules on driving?
She was going to drive. I guess Mackenzie was expecting Peyton to drive. I guess. I don't know. Did she end up driving home?
No, I ended up driving home. I was fine, guys.
Jeez, Peyton, you had like an hour and a half drive.
I was really expecting him to say Mackenzie after I read y'all's email.
Yeah.
I was sober like the last hour there. Like, I was fine.
I was.
I
am 2 for 2 of my weddings of getting absolutely hammered, and I am 0 for 2 in relations afterwards.
So it was prom night for everybody.
I was really wondering if you were going to say that on the radio, you compared it to your first marriage.
I was 0 for 2. I have struck out both times. The first time I threw up. I threw up the first time.
Wow.
This time, I didn't throw up. I was just so tired. And I was so drunk. And she said, do you want to? And I was like, nope, I'm going to bed.
Oh, you said no.
Well, wow. I said, I got nothing. I got nothing going.
Okay.
I can't. There's no way I could make this work right now.
No blue chew.
The blue chew was not going to work. And I didn't even try it. I'm not doing this. I thought I could get Luca to drive home because he has his permit. Turns out that's illegal, so I couldn't do that. So my whole DD operation plan failed.
No, it was one of Chop's friends, TK, kept giving me drinks, and I was like, all right. And so we were having drinks and talking about golf, and he said, hey, when Choppy gets back, I need to see the swing of yours. I want to see if you can hit 90. So we're gonna go right across the street over there. We're gonna golf when Chop comes back. And so he kept giving me the drinks, and then Kristen scolded him a little bit. It's like he's cut off, no more for him.
Yeah,
and so he was like, "Ooh, sorry, I got you in trouble a little bit." And I went, it's like Chop, come here. He thinks he got me in trouble. Have I ever gotten in trouble?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Listen,
no, he's not gotten in trouble ever.
So Pepe, what'd you think?
I liked it. It was great. You know, I had the nice button down shirt. You know, so I was
your
better.
Your hair looked different. It looked kind of suave. It looked I don't know. Your curls are working more. I don't know what it was, but
I've let it grow out a little bit. I think it's been a month since I've last cut my hair, so I let it grow out, and it just gets curly up top. It's curly hair. So I was in the shower before, so it went down a little bit. But yeah, Mackenzie, when we first walked in, she was like, "Okay, you're not going to drink heavy here." I go, "It's open bar, but no, you know, Bobby's not going to drink heavy. Like, we'll be fine there." I had a beer to start with, and then TK just kept bringing shots. Like before I even said a word to him, I think we had 4 shots without him because he would just kept saying, "Hey, tell the waiter, bring shots to those guys over there."
Oh, so he's ordering you shots from the open bar.
Well, I don't think he understood that. I didn't understand it when I got us a celebratory shot. So I didn't realize until at the end of the night, I was getting ready to pay, and I see them handed it to Chop. I was like, oh, I guess that's the, you had said open bar. I was like, oh, I thought that was a separate.
Because you guys were praising this guy. And I'm like, whoa, big dog, like high roller. And then Choppy's at open bar. I was like,
I do think he was under the impression he was going to be buying those drinks.
And he may have been. A lot of people came up and asked at the end, hey, is there a tab? And I was like, no, go.
Yeah. And so that's what I think a lot of people just thought they were. So his heart was in that place of buying us all these drinks.
But yeah, Mackenzie saw me taking shots and was like, I'm going to have to drive home. And it's over an hour drive. I was like, no, you're not. I'll be sober. You know, I'll sober up. I'll be fine. You know, me and Bobby went on a long walk. I was fine. You know,
long walk.
We walked around the building once.
Why don't you go outside and walk around the building for
we had to get
some from the ladies. We had to gossip about something away from them.
I was telling the waiter, I said, hey, you know, stop bringing me shots. I don't need it. But he just thought I was joking. He was like, okay, yeah, buddy, I got you.
Right.
And so he kept bringing them over. I was like, dude, these are Don Julio tequila shots. Like, I don't need to keep drinking this. And then we had whiskey at the end and mix and match. So, but it was a fun night.
So you're feeling different? Woke up married again.
Woke up married again. It feels good. It feels great. You know, it's like, it's my wife this, my wife that.
Oh.
You know, you get to say these things.
How fast did she do the name change online?
Last night we were posting photos, and she goes, should I do the name change before the photos? So I was like, let's do it with the photo post. Yeah. You know,
you guys really should have stuck with Countrymen.
You think so?
Yeah. Sarah Choppy. It's
well on her Instagram. It's Choppyman.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Is it
really? That's her username. Is it says Sarah Choppy, but the username is Sarah Choppyman now.
All right.
That's pretty good. I'm that's pretty solid. I will say he had a little voice recorder, a little telephone.
Oh, yeah.
Where so he could leave messages.
Shannon and TK got us this. They got us everything. They paid for everything.
Apparently I mean, you guys thought I was going to get canceled for the message I left, but I liked Peyton's. Peyton's was pretty strong.
Well, let's play the audio, Bobby. I got the audio of what you said, so let's play
you
right
do?
Now.
You
do? No, I don't.
No.
We've got to figure out how to hook that up to the computer. So it's cool. It's like a little old-timey phone, and you just pick it up and it just you leave a message. It's instead of like a regular handwritten guest book.
I cannot make the choppy event because I allowed some family friends to host their engagement party at my house.
Yeah.
For Nick and Emily. And turns out I was hosting a wedding party at my house.
Oh.
Because they show up with the entire family and they got married at breakfast. They had their brother, huge Tolo Andrew, ordain himself. Do the announcement at breakfast, and they wanted to announce it to the entire crew. Big tent, you know, Blackstone, fajitas, Trumpo. I say it all white, Trumpo. The spinning. Do you know what I'm talking about, Bobby?
I like hearing you try to roll the R's.
Yeah, you're the one who gets on me during the Hurtado commercials. It's birria. You're not rolling the R. So it's basically the spinning meat that you get like euros. off of the street, street meat,
right?
But it wasn't you know lamb or anything like that. But it was a big time impressive setup. But that's why I could not make the choppy event. But congratulations on that. I tried to send you a wedding present.
You did. It was fantastic.
Have you cooked any of it? Wild Fork.
Yeah. No, we did a video. We did the appreciation video. No, we haven't had a chance to cook any of it yet. But
what was your gift policy?
If you want to, we didn't have a
no registry.
People ask like, what do you need? And, like somebody asked me at my buddy Aaron's like, is it the wedding? He goes, what do you guys need? I was like, we're pack rats. We don't have any room for anything anyway.
Yeah.
So like a lot of people gave us liquor. My mom gave us cash. Her parents gave us cash. So that's it.
I forgot to tell you the worst thing about the night. The discussion of weddings came up, so we're talking
best and worst of the weekend.
We're talking to Peyton and Mackenzie about when they're getting married. They're getting married next year on June 6th. Do you know what June 6th is? It's D-Day. That's the anniversary of D-Day. Mm-hmm. Storming the beaches of Normandy. We asked Peyton, do you know what D-Day is? He went, I don't know. Was that a sporting event?
Dak Prescott minicamp?
It's like a sporting event.
It's like, I don't know. No, Ed McKenzie's like, please know this. Please know this.
My worst of the weekend and week was being off. It was awful. My kids, ear infections.
Oh, no.
Double ear infections, doctors, stay home one day, the other day. I think the allergies are wreaking. It was awful. I could not wait to get the hell out of the house. It was terrible. Cavities and cappings and dentists, haircuts, all terrible. So I did not. If you were as I heard and was relayed to me with some of the shots you all took, if you were insulting me and putting the hate on me for having time off, just know last week sucked.
You're miserable.
214. I get to hear Street Clothes Sharif back on the air. Yeah.
So, who's this third voice I keep hearing?
Yeah, I saw what y'all said. I saw a lot of what y'all said, some of the shots that you took.
But it's good you're back now for the long run.
Week and a half will be a long run.
There you go.
2 weeks. 2 weeks will be a long run. Hey, that's Odyssey policy, baby. Never give back free vacation. Best and worst of the weekend here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for being a Tolo. Win the Renegades tickets tomorrow and the rest of the week because this HOV portion of the expressway is driven by Mercedes-Benz of Plano. Are the Rangers bad hitters or just unlucky? Choppy has the answers on the home of the Rangers with Diamond Cavs next.